First of all, I am a girl. I have a tie, no, I have a girl. Somebody approached me and said, would you like to be my boyfriend? And I said, no, I can't. But I do have someone special, and he's constantly in my heart, and I know that I'm in his. And he says, when you come back, he says, we'll start the work. And I guess you know who it is, eh? The Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is my my companion, my helper, my husband, and everything rolled into one. So I praise the Lord for that. And I just wanted to tell you a little bit. I know that most of you know, but some of you don't. So I'll go ahead and say a little bit about myself. I have a very, very long testimony, so I'm not really going to dwell on it, but I will try to say a little bit and then try to jump in some areas. But I know I was saved when I was 10 years old, and I've been brought up in a more or less Christian, but not really found, you know, Christians. But I was brought up in the church, and I was saved when I was 10. And when I was 15, I felt the calling to be a missionary. And but being 15 and submissive to my parents, they had asked me to wait till I finished high school before I'd go to the mission field. So I did that. And while I was doing that, they were, I guess, afraid to let me go. So they kind of gave me a lot of liberties. And so I kind of forgot about the Lord. So that's the way it was. I went to college. I got married and had a wonderful husband, and I had two boys, and we were going to the church like twice a year, something like that. And but we always prayed at night and with my kids. And so my husband died in 71, and that threw me off. That really just upset me pretty bad. And, of course, the first person that we usually blame is the Lord. And or when we go to church and we get mad, it's usually the Lord that we take it on. Well, I'm not going to go to church. I'll show him. So it's always we take it out on the Lord. So I did the same thing. I was angry at him, and I said, what have I ever done to you to deserve this? I never did anything to you, so why did you do this to me? But somehow, later, I didn't do anything to him, and I deserved that much more. So, but it didn't dawn on me then, as I was not a very strong believer, and I just, didn't know how to handle it. And I handled it like, I guess most people do when they don't have the Lord. And, but I had a hard time after my husband died, and the Lord talks to me through my children, or did at the beginning, you know. So, it was my oldest son. They said, Mama, I don't want you to die. Because I was very, very sick after my husband died. And I said, no, Mama's not going to die. And that night I asked the Lord to. I said, well, if you're there, and just like in the same tone of voice, well, if you're there, help me. I need your help. And I guess he was just waiting for me to call upon him, because he was there. He never did leave me.
Amen.
And he was just wanting me to call upon him. So I praise the Lord for getting me out of that. But I still didn't know that I was supposed to call upon him moment by moment. I just didn't know about this Holy Spirit that I know now. I just knew about Jesus, and I must have heard something about it, but it just didn't sink in as to that it was a moment to moment thing in my life. So again, I thank him for getting me out of it. I put him back in the altar, and I went on with my life and struggling with my life, and it was very difficult. But again, my son tells me about this little church that was in Marbach. It was Tabernacle Baptist Church, something like that. So I remember that night praying to God, and I said, it's too late for me. I thought I had lost my salvation. I really didn't know too much about internal security and things like that. So I prayed that night. Things like that in my life, I will never forget. This is like it happened yesterday, and that was one. And I prayed that night, and I said, Lord, it's too late for me, but I want my children to know you. So we'll go tomorrow, and if it's the right church, I'll let the kids go in the bus, and they'll get to know you. As I was brought up much like the same way my mother would send us to church, you know, and I was about to do the same thing. So that one Sunday, I went just to see what kind of church it was, and because I didn't want my kids to go to any church. I really didn't know what I was looking for, but I guess I knew a little bit of other churches that weren't speaking about Jesus. So Sunday I went, and the pastor was talking about the simple sermon of, it's simple but very powerful, the Sermon on the Cross. And this man was, it seemed like he was throwing stones at me, and I was just very uncomfortable, and I was saying all these things I was doing to him, and it was just, it just touched me. And he was saying many, many things that they were very ugly. And I mean, ugly in the sense that we do those things. We were doing that to the Lord. And he said, I don't know. Who in here? He says, is that person I'm talking about? He says, but if the shoe fits, wear it. You know, so I was, you know, he said that. So I said, that shoe fits me. And I was very uncomfortable. And I was crying, and I was very upset. And so I believe that the Lord was wanted me to get back to him. And when he said something about that if anybody wanted to get saved could come up, and if anybody had gotten saved but had strayed, you know, could come back again. And when he said that, I said, well, I'm one of those. So I went up there, and it was, so that was the beginning of a beautiful life now with the Lord. And so after I got started serving him and getting to know the Word, it got impressed me again with the mission field. And here I was, you know, with two kids now. I wasn't the 15-year-old anymore. Here I was already older and had two boys. And I thought, well, no, Lord, you know, I can't go anymore. I felt this burden. I wanted to go. I said, but I can't. It's like two boys alone. You know, I'm so afraid. I said, what's this woman going to do out there, Gallimet and all over the world? So I said, I'll start the work here. And that time I was going to another church, not at the one that I had, that I found the Lord again. So the Lord has led me to two churches, and then of course to this one. And I got involved in Sunday school and witnessing and sewing, and had a good news club for the kids in my neighborhood. And the Lord blessed that, as he always blesses his word. But amen. I didn't feel comfortable. Again, you know, that wasn't what it was. And here I was in fear. Somehow the Lord let me out of that church and came to this one. And of course, looking back in my life, I know that the Lord had a plan all along.
Amen.
And it's just beautiful. So I came here in about 2 years in the latter part of 75. I'm not sure, Pastor. I can't remember. But I know that I was here to participate at their first missionary conference. And so it's just beautiful the way the Lord just made it possible for me to be here at that particular time. And it was Brother Joe West that preached on faith in it. And step out on faith, you know. Yeah. So I knew then that that's what it was. I was afraid, and he couldn't do anything with me, and I needed to draw that imaginary line, step across it imaginarily, and say, okay, here I am. And before that, I was having a lot of problems. I knew God was working in my life because I worked all my life. I was pretty good at my job, at what I did. But at the end, it was getting to where I couldn't solve any minor problems. It was getting pretty bad. So I knew that the Lord was working in that at the end also. So that day, that night, when he preached on faith in it, I did it. And nobody knew about it. Like I said, it was just in my mind. I stayed by. I knew all along that's what it was that he wanted me to do, because I knew him. I had found him, and I knew I was talking to him, and I knew that's what he wanted me to do. But I had fought it for 2 years. So that I went the next day to the job, and I quit. And I came back that other night, and I told Brother Kincaid. And he almost killed over. He says, oh, wait a minute, are you sure? But, he was afraid because, you know, I really admire Brother Kincaid and his wife. I mean, particularly him, because he is my ruler here. You know, I have to be submissive to him, and he has got to take care of me, right? He's my pastor. I'm his sheep. Amen. So he was kind of concerned about it. He has told it many, many times. He says better than I do. And he was really worried about it, but he didn't stop me. He said, if that's what the Lord has been telling you, then fine. But I found later that all this time he was worrying about it. We went through missionary training. He taught us personally to a bunch of us people that surrendered that year. And but still, you know, he says, "Well, time will tell whether she'll gonna stick to it or she'll fly." I guess he'd say that, and it's true. Sometimes we'll let it. Okay, fine, you know, let's see how strong you are. But I guess at the end, you know, he knew that it was true. So Brother Rice, John Rice, was one of the missionaries that came over here and talked to us about Brazil and the missionary work there. And what intrigued it was the fact that what triggered it was the fact that he worked with spiritually in the orphanages, not that he worked there to run it. So I felt that was the place for me to go. I just felt in my heart. I've always liked to work with kids. I've always admired that, and since I was a child. I remember when there were abused kids that you were hearing on radio or on TV or something, I used to say, "Oh, Lord, if I had all the money in the world, I'd get a big house and get all the kids that nobody wants." But that's, you know, like a teenage, a young girl talking. And so when this came about, I knew that's what it was. And yet to be more specific about it, to be more sure, I said, "Okay, Lord, if this is where you want me to go, you have to sell my home." And he sold the house right away. I had a garage sale, and I sold everything, and then I sold the house right away.
Amen.
And then I found an apartment close by to get ready to leave. And again, "Lordy, this is where you want me to go. You know, you must have a house ready for me over there," because it was difficult to get houses. So all of that, of course, I didn't know about the house until I got there, that the house was already. Well, no, I think we got a letter from Brother Rice telling us that they had found the house, so we Amen. Knew that was an answer to prayer. And when I got there, then I knew that that's where he wanted me to be. Amen. And I had no doubt about it. And I love the people, and the people love me because I look like them. I remember when I first got off the airport over there, I saw all this tall, you know, light-complected, blue-eyed people. And I thought, "Wow, all these Americans here, you know." And I said, "That's, you know, the first time that I go abroad, you know, this is the first time I see people with money that travel around." And so, but they were not Americans. They were, I knew later that was Portuguese, and that spoken in Rio de Janeiro. They kind of whisper something, you know. And so it's been exciting. I want to mention, talking about the light skin, I got to a pharmacy right away because we needed some medicine for Carrie. And this man trying to communicate with me and me him, he said, "Americana." And I said, "Yes, you know." And he says, "But Americana are light complexed and blue eye." Here, this man, tall, light complexed, blue eye. And I said, "And I thought that all Brazil is supposed to be short and dark complexed." It was sort of funny, you know, because I had gone to the library and I had gotten all these books out, and it said that they were supposed to be dark. It was somehow promised dark, you know. But I was in for a treat or a shock, you know. It was the other way around. But later on, some people said, you know, that they were glad that I was there. He says, "That you look like one of us." He says, you know, that's so. I thought that was really nice, and I really enjoyed it. And I worked there, and I was afraid, yes, at the beginning. But let me tell you, if you feel a burden, you know, for the mission field, God's not going to leave you alone. Don't be afraid. He starts a little bit at a time. You know, Brother Kincaid sent me off with the Rices, and of course, I'm on my own now, not because I'm liking it. It's just the fact that the Lord led me out further to the interior, and I had to leave the Rises, and I'm by myself. And, My boys go to a mission, a New Tribes Mission School in Vianópolis, Goiás, is in the west part of Brazil. And, therefore I have to work alone. I can't not teach them and work, tend to the things of the Lord. But, I know he's taking care of mine, so I take care of his.
Amen.
Not 100% like I should, but, he knows that, I'm there to do that. So that's no problem. And, I've gotten used to it. The fact that I'm alone is, like I said, the Rices were not called evidently to go where I was, and therefore I felt like they had enough churches and enough missionaries in that part of the country, and I wanted to reach those people that hadn't been told about the Lord. And that was my burden. And I still pray that the Lord will raise laborers.
Amen.
Because, you know, we, a team, one, two, three, you know, five, you know,
which
is, like I said, it does limit, it limits the female, you know, part, you know, because she's not as strong and she's sometimes not as wise as, and thinks very much with her heart. But, anyway, the Lord is with me and he's not going to leave me. He's going to be with me.
Amen,
and,
amen.
If he wishes for me to continue with the work alone, it's going to be limited. It's going to be slow, but, I know that he's got, it's going to be done. Whatever he wants me to do out there,
amen.
He's going to,
amen.
It's going to be done. So that is, I've told you a little bit about myself. So, I have a 14-year-old son. His name is Kenneth Wayne and Carrie West is 12. And they're right now with fevers at home. So it's not all this week, that's why they haven't been able to be with me. And, let's see what else I have to tell you. I think that's about it.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, praise the Lord. I wanted to do leave, a verse with you. In John 17, chapter 17 talks about the prayer of Jesus, but I'm just going to bring a couple of verses of this prayer that he prayed. And chapter 17, verse 9, first he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine.
Hey.
Now, we don't know which ones God has given him, right? So, just because some people say, well, they've already been saved, so don't worry about going out. They're going to get saved eventually. Well, you don't know that, you know. So you have to go out there and do your duty. And you don't want to be accountable for that, for those souls. If you know you have the command, so therefore you must go.
Amen.
Now, like Brother Jim said once, he said, Brother Jim Campbell said, it's not whether I'll pray and see whether God wants me to go. If the command is there, it's for you to go.
Amen.
Now, get ready to go. And if he leads you differently not to go, well, then don't go. And then you can do your duty by praying for the missionaries out there, by giving, because we also need a salary. You know, we need to continue the work, to buy the books that we need, pay the rent in the building that you're holding the meetings. There's so many things that you have to do. I work with children. I work with visuals. Therefore, I have to buy them or make them, and that takes money. And, everybody has a part, you know, prayer, giving, or actually going. In verse 20, it says, neither pray after these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So we know that there be the ones that shall believe and through, for their word, you know, the people that take the word, to go out there and take the word. And this is that. That's beautiful. That's you and me.
Amen.
And 21, that they all may be one. That's beautiful. As thou Father art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And, I want to leave you with that, because this is, like I said, read the whole chapter. This is Jesus praying, and it's beautiful what he talks about. But we are going to be one because we are one. We're in him, and he is in the Father. Therefore, it's not you or me anymore. You know, it's Christ. You know,
amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.